I guess I better open it with you. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. This is a hymn, a praise song that David wrote as he marveled at how awesome and how unimaginable God is. And he says this, and he writes from a very personal way. It's just not an abstract truths that he's dealing with. He's dealing with his life in relationship to the Lord. And he writes and he sings, "O Lord, you have searched me and you've known me. You know when I sit and when I rise." He went on to say, "You perceive my thoughts, even know what I'm thinking about from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is even on my tongue, you know it completely and thoroughly. Oh Lord," he says, "you hem me in and behind. You've laid your hand upon me. You're with me. I don't care if I go to the left or the right, forward or backward. There you are. Such knowledge of this is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." Wow. And he worships God. Father, we thank you for being the all-knowing God and for being our Father. Open our hearts to receive and to see and to believe that you are all-knowing and that you love us. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Last week we began this series on the all-God. Verses 1 through 6 talks about his omniscience or omniscience. And then the next one talks about he's ever-present. And the next few verses talk about that he's almighty. And last week we learned that he knows everything about us. He knows not everything about us. He knows everything there is to know. He's the all-knowing God. And therefore, you don't have to worry about it, anything. Our point was that since God knows everything, you don't have to worry about anything, even if you're going bald like me. For it says in Matthew 10 that he even knows the hairs, whether how many or how few. And he has an up-to-date account of it. He knew I lost some last night, and he had to think about it. All right? He knows everything. He does not need Google. And what's that little button you push, and that person's name starts with an S? He doesn't have to ask Siri nothing. He knows everything. He knows everything instantly. There's no time delay. There's no buffer. He doesn't need more megs for memory. With him, everything is present right now, past, present, and future. He is a multidimensional God. We can't understand that because we live in one dimension of time and space. He is multidimensional. That's why it says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the God we worship. That's the God we serve. Today, I want to spend a little time more on his omniscience from a scriptural point of view. Why can he work all things together for our good? Even that which seems bad to us, that's because he's all-knowing. In Ephesians 1 and verse 11, it says that he predestined us according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Everything. He works it. Because not only does he know everything, he's got the power to bring everything about. And he's ever present. He's the same right here with us here in Snellville, Georgia, as he is in Somalia. Right now, fully present. See, that's the God we worship. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, it says that he sustains all things. He knows everything because he's sustained. Oh, I skipped a beat. even every beat of your heart, even if you have palpitations of the heart. He sustains, it says in Hebrews 1 and verse 3, sustains all things by the power of his will. Our breath, our strength. So he knows everything because he's made everything and he's sustaining it. You say, but don't we have, aren't we free moral agents? Don't we have free will? Yes. But it's not free. You ask the cocaine head at it on the street if he's free. He got that monkey on his back, as they say. Right? He cannot stop taking cocaine. Because sin makes us slaves. Romans 6 says that. You were born. He created you with certain personalities, certain gifts and talents. And he orders your steps by how he's created you. Free will. God's sovereignty. They are not in contradiction. You make real choices and they have real consequences. You make them. But God is still in control of them. Notice something. See, there is divine sovereignty. God's in control. And there is human choices and human responsibility. If you say, well, God's going to provide food for me. He feeds the birds. But if you lay in the bed and you don't go out and get a job or go to the store, you've exercised your free will. And God says you're not going to eat. Okay? Right? He provides for the birds. But the birds, when I look out, I see them exercising their will to go out and peck and turn over the leaves and get them worms, right? But that's God's will too. He said in Matthew 10, he says, does not a single sparrow that you can buy for 2 cents fall to the ground without your father? And if God takes care of the sparrows, you know he's watching you. You take the combination of God's sovereignty and human responsibility and you see it with Joseph. What does Joseph's brothers do to him? Remember the story? They were jealous. He had this flashy coat, right? His father's always praising him. They got jealous. What do? They got mad. You favor him. Okay, we're going to take care of him. And they threw him in a pit. They were going to kill him. Then they sold him into slavery. You know what Joseph told his brothers in Genesis 45:8? He says, don't you know who sent me here? Don't you know it was God who sent me here? He said, wait a minute. You did it. Wait, yeah, they did it, right? He told them, God sent me here. But wait a minute. We see the brothers, jealous, taking action against him, sold him under slavery into Egypt. It's both. But God even orders that. And he says, and God has made me Lord of Egypt. And then later he said in Genesis 50 and verse 20, you intended this for evil. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God even takes the evil people does and works it into his plan to bring about his purpose. See, God knows everything. So I wanted to just go through that briefly with you as we further look into his omniscience. Because he's got to know everything to direct everything according to his will, and he knows it. I want to get down to where we live. What is your greatest fear? Failing the test when you go back to school? Having that girl or boy you like turn their back on you? I remember kindergarten. I'll never forget this. I told my wife about it. I was in kindergarten, 4 years old. They sent me to school early, trying to get rid of me. I'm just kidding. And there was this little girl. And I didn't have but maybe a nickel, and I bought this candy necklace. Y'all ever see an old time these candy necklaces? And I said, here, I want to give this to you. And I gave it to her. You know what she did? Took it and tore it up. All the candy went everywhere. Oh, was devastated. What is your greatest fear? Somebody rejecting you? What is your greatest fear? Losing a job, losing a loved one, being given a diagnosis of a deadly disease? What's your greatest fear? Think about it for a moment. I believe, and I submit to you, that our greatest fear is being found out. You didn't come out the closet, somebody opened the door. I believe that our greatest fear is being found out. Noel Coward, who was a great English playwright, sent a letter to 12 of London's most famous and prominent people in different positions of government and society. And he sent the letter to all of them and it said the same thing. I know what you did and who you are. The London Mail published this without the names, and all 12 left town. And he had nothing. You see, we fear being uncovered. We fear if people really knew us, they would reject us. If they really knew what we've done, the things we've said, the things we've looked at, the places we have been where we should not have been. If I really told you who I was, would you love me anyway? You see, because fear, when Adam and Eve sinned, and God said, where are you? And they hid. They said, we were afraid. And we were naked and we were ashamed. You see, we are naked and we are ashamed because of sin. And like Adam and Eve, we try to hide behind those very uncomfortable, sticky, when you're naked, fig leaves don't feel good. You get diaper rash, okay? But we're all hiding. But if you really knew that someone would not reject you but love you. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. And it takes a lot of energy to hide, by the way. It takes a lot of energy to hide. We got to do a lot of covering up. And the cover up is greater than the what? Come on, y'all, help me here this morning. The cover up is greater than what? The sin, the crime. Richard Nixon and others, right? They committed a crime, but what got them was the cover up. Oh, ain't no crime here. Ain't nothing to see here. Look over there. Look at that shiny ball. Look, no, ain't nothing here. And then when they discover, you lied. We all lie. I told one of my grandkids this week, who I think was lying. I said, you know, Grandpa's lied. Grandpa's lied? Yes, even Grandpa lies. But God forgives us. And Jesus died for my lies. Are you free? Or are you all covered up? You know, I have fly trap paper at home. The flies and the bugs, they get on it. And they're not free. And they stay there until they die. Are you free? Are you all stuck up? Oh, excuse me. 1 John 4. No wonder he didn't wear a coat and tie today. 1 John 4 and verse 18. 1 John 4 and verse 18. It says, there is no, 17. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Guess what's happening on the day of judgment? Everybody strips. All will be laid bare on the day of judgment. All your sins, might as well put them up here on the screen. Screen doesn't have enough room for him. Okay? Unless you believe that someone took all of your sins, all of your hatred, all your prejudice, all your sexual sins, all your stealing, all your lying on the income tax last week. All of that. Be up there for all to see. And nobody wants to be uncovered. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. That day is coming. Every word, every deed. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love. Now, Churchill, or FDR, I'm sorry, had it partially right. There is nothing to fear but fear itself. That's just partially true. There is nothing to fear if you have the love of God. He went on to say, Jesus, to the Apostle Paul, John, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. If I know I am loved perfectly, my fear is driven out. Why? Because fear has to do with punishment. You fear being uncovered because you will be punished. That punishment may be just being rejected or going to prison. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And what's my point? God knows everything about you. Every thought, every sin. He knows everything about you. And he loves you and accepts you in Jesus Christ, if you believe that. I'm going to say it again. God knows everything about you. Everything you've done, every thought you've had. And he loves you anyway. And he accepts you. Now that's radical. We don't work that way. You tell somebody your secrets? I don't know about them. I thought they were different. No, God knows you weren't different from that. And when you accept he knows and he loves me, hey, I'm free. I don't have to wear a coat and tie to cover up Earl. This is Earl Williams. Lost some weight. Pants don't fit correctly. Got a little white spot on your belt right there, Pastor. I'm exposed. And I'm free. So many of us, including myself, are not totally free because we fear being punished, found out, just like children do sometimes. You know, as a child, there are many things that we can learn from children. And I look at my grandkids and I say, there go me. Many years ago. Children like cupcakes, right? I've got a cupcake here. Anybody want a cupcake? Cupcake? Anybody? Cupcake? You really do? Okay, just wait. But mama and daddy's just baked those cupcakes. And they said, do not eat or touch the puppy cakes. Don't eat them. God says, do not eat of that tree of the garden. That's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan comes along and says, that looks good to me. Because God knows that the day you eat of it, you know, you're going to be like him, knowing good and evil. You don't have to rely on him to tell you what's good and what's evil. You're going to know. See, we want to know. God knows everything. As I said last week, he's the 411. Now, some of y'all little kids don't know what the 411 was. I've had to explain to some. That is, in the olden days, you didn't have to you couldn't Google, you couldn't go on a line of white pages. You would pay a fee, and you would dial 411, and it's called information. They'll give you somebody's phone number. All right? God's got the 411. He is the 411. And we need his knowledge. We need his 411 so we don't have to dial the 911. Right? And if we would follow his revealed knowledge, you don't have to call for the po-po. Po-po? Well, anyway, God said, don't eat it. Mom and Dad says, don't eat of that. They have knowledge that you don't have. But you want to be like them. You may think you're grown. As my mom said, you must be smelling yourself, boy. That means I was in puberty and I needed deodorant. Some of you young folks, you will know that one day you'll start stinking and you need deodorant. All right? She had the 411. God had the 411. Don't eat other cupcakes. So, you go in there. Nobody's looking. Nobody knows, right? There's nobody who has all knowledge. Right? Really? They go in there. Some good. Who's that coming? Door closes. Johnny, Susie, you been eating them cupcakes? No. They're afraid of being punished, right? They don't know if mama really loves them. Perfect love drives out fear. And fear has its strength in punishment. No, I didn't. No, mama, God, believe me, I didn't do that. Now, those of you listening online cannot see this. I took the cupcake, bit into it, and now I got frosting and sugar all over my mouth. And I'm standing before mama and saying, no, I didn't do it. And mom can see all of that on my face. And mom says, honey, listen, I know you. No. I can see it. Just tell me the truth and I won't spank you. Really? Yes, because mommy loves you. I just don't want you to live that kind of life of lying. If you'll steal and lie now, you may kill later on. You know what they say? If you'll lie, you'll steal. If you steal, you'll kill. It'll just keep going. I don't want that life for you. Come here, honey. And she takes the little one into her arms and says, honey, I love you. I forgive you. And you know, Jesus, you know, I've done this too. I've lied. And Jesus forgave me. And Jesus loves you. And he will forgive you. Really? Now, did you eat the cupcake? Yes, thank you, baby, for telling me the truth. That was unrehearsed, by the way. And mama takes her handkerchief. Help me, mama. Takes her handkerchief, and she wipes away all my sins. And gives me a kiss. And she loves me anyway. I'm out of the cupcake canister, okay? And I can be who I am, and I am love. That's who I am. I am loved by my mom. I'm loved by God. I'm loved by Jesus. And he died for all my sins. And now he lives again. He's resurrected to help me. And mom says, now pray and ask God to help you to stop stealing and lying. All right? You see my point? God knows everything about us. And he loves us anyway. Everything. And he accepts us, welcomes us into his arms. Do you really see God that way? Or do you see God mad at you? Do you see him loving you because of what Jesus did? See, that's the gospel. The gospel in frosting. Say this with me. God knows everything about me. And he loves me and accepts me. In Jesus Christ. See, that's the beauty of it. And see, that frees me. I know mommy loves me. I know God loves me. That frees me to be who God created me to be. You see, this omniscience of God, he knows all things. It's not abstract, because it gets down to us. And we can stop hiding, and we can be free. It takes too much energy to hide, to sham, to lie, and to worry. What if I'm found out? God already knows. God already loves you. And God sent his Son to die for all of our lies, for all of our sins, so we can truly be feared. Not be fearful, but free. You know, in Romans 8, in verse 14. See, fear, we played a little song at the beginning before we even started service. A little song by Zach Williams called Fear is a Liar. Fear will tear you down. Fear will make you be afraid to even try anything in life. And it's a liar. Fear says you're ugly. Fear says you're worthless. And you won't try because you're afraid of failure, because if I fail, somebody will criticize me. You're free in the Lord. In Romans 8, and in verse 14, it says something very powerful. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. That's not what kind of spirit he's given you. But you have received the spirit of sonship. You are a child of God and he loves you. And by him we cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy, Daddy, or Mama, Mama. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. One of the reasons that God gives us his Spirit is to testify with our spirit that God loves us. He loves us as he loves his Son, Jesus Christ, that you are a son or daughter of God. When those fears come, the Holy Spirit rises up in him and says, no, that's a lie. Fear is a liar. I am no longer a slave to fear. I do no longer have to obey sin. I can obey my Father. I'm free. I'm loved. And even when I sin after that, he still loves me. Anyway, because of Jesus taking all of my shame. And some of us are ashamed of what we've done. You say, they ought to be ashamed. And folks do these things these days and they have no shame. How many of you said that? Do you know shame works?
For a little while.
You can shame somebody. Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Well, you ought to forgive me. Shame is not what we're after. God does not use shame. And you ought not to be ashamed. Because Jesus took all your shame and all your condemnation. Because shame does not free you to be the person God has ordained you to be. You're working out of fear. You're no longer slaves. You are a child of God. You are free. You are loved. And not only children of God, the Spirit witnesses that to us. You're children of God, and now are you children of God. He says, and you are heirs, heirs with God, co-heirs with Christ. That's who we are. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good news that you don't have to go around hiding anymore? And you can be free? You know, as you get older, they say you don't care what other people think. My wife said, you know, we're this old. Who cares what other people think? Well, why don't we not care when we're young? We ought to care what God thinks. I don't care if you're 80 or 8. And know that you are loved. Know that you're secure in him. We read those verses 1 through 6. I won't go through them again. But I want to give you an example of God knowing. As David said, this is a personal thing. He knew God loved him. Of God knowing the worst about you and still loving you. I want us to go to the book of Luke. See, there were some folks, they're called the Pharisees. They thought they were better than everybody else. They ran around judging other people, rejecting folk who, in their view, didn't measure up. What are they doing with them tattoos? What are they doing with their hair colored purple? Even as Christians, we get tripped on that. Right? They got all them tattoos. What are they going to do when they're old, when they start melting like icing? Well, that's their business. Oh, listen. When we relate to other people, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't get involved with the outside. Well, I don't want to talk to them. They got 10 earrings in their nose. All right? All right? No. Jesus says, I'll make you fishers of men. The fish, how many of you have been fishing before? Anybody ever catch a fish? They don't come out filleted. Guts all out. Scales all out, right? Smells. Neither did you come filleted. And God didn't hold that against you, right? Whatever you were into, that you're still hiding. You said, but only God knows. Are you really free? Listen, God knows. Luke 7, here Jesus was invited to a Pharisee's house, and his name was Simon. He invited him to dinner. Guess who's coming to dinner? Jesus. And a woman who was a sinner, led a sinful life in that town. She was renowned in the town. Learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. Oh, he's at the Pharisee's house. She had no shame. She busted in there, as they say. Place was lit. They're having a good time until she arrived. And she brought an alabaster, an expensive jar of perfume. And she stood behind him at his feet weeping. And she began to wet his feet with her tears. And she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on his feet. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know. He knows all things. He knew who she was. He would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is. That she's a sinner. And he says he knows all things. He's the I am. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Now, he didn't say this out loud. How did Jesus know what he was in his heart? We read it in Psalm 1. He knows what's going to come out of our tongue before we do. And he said, I want to ask you something, Simon. You're a teacher. Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii. And the other 50. 500? 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him the more? The one whose debt was only 50 or the one whose debt was 500? And Simon replied, I suppose the one with a bigger debt. And he said, Jesus said, you judge correctly. Then he turned toward the woman, but he spoke to Simon. Do you see this woman? I came into your house and you not give me water for my feet. Because with tradition, they walked the dusty roads of Jerusalem and through Galilee. And if you had a guest, you would wash their feet because they, you know, wore those open-toed Nike sandals, right? Okay. He says, you did not give me water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. She did not give me a kiss. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. See, this woman was not hiding. This woman could come out amongst the high class of society, which the Pharisees were. And she didn't care what they thought. You know why? She knew that Jesus loved her. She knew that Jesus accepted her. Yet you did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. The woman's free. For she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. Who's free up in there? The woman. Who's in prison? The Pharisees who are still fronting. Because they may have been with her last week. Oh, with whoever. You see, when you know God loves you, it frees you from your addictions. It frees you from your sins and your bad habits. Because now you're free to go to him for help. Because he knows you love him. And he loves you. You love him because he first loved you. I want to read you a letter from a lady who wrote to a lady in ministry by the name of Kay Arthur. Everybody hear of Kay Arthur? Listen to what this lady wrote. This is a letter, January 17, 1986. It says, before I was saved, I was an adulteress. Stole the man who lived next door to my parents from his wife and children. Had his child out of wedlock and finally succeeded in getting him to marry me when our child was 2 years old. When I came to the Lord, I was devastated to realize what pain my sin had caused so many, but especially how I had grieved my Lord. God has redeemed much of the hurt to so many, and in his marvelous ways has brought us to a place of loving one another. But I still have felt that he let me slip in the back door and that I never could truly be special to him. What's wrong with that? Does God bring you to the back door? Does he practice spiritual segregation? No. No. You are a child of God. You come in the front door. But she goes on to say, but okay, I know that he chose me with full knowledge. He chose you with full knowledge. And he accepted you with full knowledge of all of your sins. He chose me with full knowledge of how wretched I would be. That I am now called holy and blameless by the blood of my precious Jesus. What about you? What about you? Have you accepted this great gift? That God knows everything about you. And he loves you and accepts you. And you're free. You're free from the penalty of sin. You're free from the bondage of sin. You're free to be who and what God created and called you to be. But what happens? You can hear this message, you can go home, and then memories will come back, and shame will rise upon you, and the enemy, the devil, will come and say, you know, you call yourself a Christian? You know what you did. Look what you just did. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, he said, you know, the things I know I should do, I don't do them. And the things that I hate, I do them. He says, who's going to deliver me? He says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ that now there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. And when you're, because we are in Christ Jesus, when you're free, then you can grow. You can't grow in bondage. You can be open with others. There are many people who labor in sin who wish there was somebody they could talk to. Maybe an addiction. It may be this or that sin. Knows no degrees. And maybe you're that person because you've experienced the love of God. And you no longer live in fear. And you say, you know, I used to be like that. This is what I went through. But see, we're so bound up, we can't tell anybody what we've done. I'm not saying you go on a street corner and say, oh, I've done this. I'm talking about relational. There are a lot of hurting people. There are a lot of people in bondage that God could use you to set free. You know, it says in James chapter 5, it says, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. You got to find somebody who's spiritually mature. You got things you're struggling with, tell them. Pray for me. Pray that God would deliver me from this. But they got a sense in you that you are vulnerable. They got a sense in you that you're open and that you're not Mr. or Mrs. Goody Two-Shoes. Ooh, you did that. Ooh. No. You got icing on your face too. God knows. See, he uses broken people to help broken people. So when the devil comes and accuses you and you begin to worry, realize he knows everything. And sometimes I have to preach the gospel to myself. Oh, God's forgiven you of that. Oh, God's forgiven them of that. Let it go. Let it go. Right? We can watch the movie, but do we let it go? We sang the song, but do we let it go? You can't let it go till you know you're forgiven. Then you're free. Then you're free. And sometimes we got to say, oh, my soul, what's wrong with you? Why are you still living in the past? Oh, my soul. I need you to listen to a song. Sometimes music, I love music, and God ministers to me through music. Maybe he'll minister to you. You see, we need to say, David is David. And see, David was real. In Psalm 42, he says, why are you so messed up, oh my soul? Why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Why are you afraid? You know God loves you. See, that comes a point when our fears, when our worries must meet the God we know and the gospel we know, for it is the power of God. We have heard the gospel over and over. But we've got to make that connection with the gospel and the God we know and our fears and failures. Listen to this song. It's called, Oh My Soul.
Oh, how you worry face with fear has to face the God you know. One more day, He will make a way. Let Him show you how you can lay this down. Cause you're not
Thank you that you're with us. You said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. That there's no sin that can separate us from your love. Father, we cannot even believe on our own. We need your help to not only believe, but to live this way. To live knowing that you know everything about us. And really believe you mean you love us after all of this? Help us to believe it's true. And free us from our past. Free us from the things we struggle with now. You know everything about us. And you will with us and strengthen us. And we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord's Supper. And we do this in remembrance of Him. That remembrance, this is a place of blessing. And I believe that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, not through some superstition, but through faith in God, we receive a blessing. The greatest blessing of all, that we're forgiven. Past, present, and future of all of our sins. He loves us. This is, what religion do you know of where the God or the head of that religion dies for His people? None. They die for themselves. But in this is not a religion. It's a relationship of love. And it is a reckless love. It is a prodigal love. How many of you heard of the parable of the prodigal? Fill in the blank. Prodigal what? No. It doesn't say. It is a parable of the prodigal. You know what? Anybody know what prodigal means? Wasteful. Lavish. Who's the prodigal here? Who's the wasteful here? So there was this man who had two sons. And the youngest son said, Dad, I want my inheritance before you die. In Middle Eastern culture, in ancient Near East, to ask for your inheritance before the father died was scandalous. He said, Dad, I don't care about you. Just give me mine now. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child. I want my own. And he went to a far country, and he got involved in all kind of wild living. He spent all his money. His friends left him. He didn't have anything to eat. So he's so hungry, he said, I'm going to go and eat the husk of the peas and all this stuff with the hogs. And then it came to him. I have a father. I have a father who has much wealth, who has many servants, and I will go to my father, and I will say to him, I have sinned against you, Father. I have sinned. I have sinned. And he had it all rehearsed. God knows. He knows everything. And while he was a great way off, the father said, oh, that's my son. And the father, dressed in his robe, started running toward the son, which was something, again, in the ancient Near East, it was not dignified for the patriarch to run in his robe. And the father grabbed him and hugged him and all that hog slop on him and all that stench. And he said, my son who was lost is found. And the son had all of this to repent of and to tell his father. The father didn't wait for that. The father knew. And he loved him anyway. he put his arms around him. And he said, you ain't no shoes. He went and got some shoes, because no shoes, barefoot, you were a slave. Slaves didn't have shoes. He said, you're my son. And then he went and got a robe and put on it, royalty, and put a ring on his finger, authority. In other words, you're back in the family, and you are an heir again, co-heirs with Christ. Hope you're making the connection. And he said, hey, let's have a feast. Let's have a Lord's Supper. And he said, go. And I'm paraphrasing. I'm adding that so you can get the picture. He says, go and kill the fatted calf, that Kobe beef from Japan. Y'all don't know what no Kobe is. I don't either. I never had it, but that's the tenderest. Go get the fatted calf. Not no little scrawny calf. Get the best. Who died for us? And bring him. Let's have a party. And his older brother. See, the son is free. He has nothing else to hide. He's been out there. Hey, it's out there now. He's free. But he's free not because it's out there, but because he's been forgiven by his father, who knows everything about him and still loves him. He's free. You know who wasn't free? The elder brother who didn't ask, who stayed loyal at home. I mean, he should be getting the fatted calf. And the brother said, huh, what is this? Ain't this a shame? He had been out there running with these women and stuff, and the scripture said nothing about no women. I wonder where he got that from. And here I've been loyal. I've been working my butt off. Excuse my language. I've been slaving here. That's what he's saying. I've been a slave here, and he's out there partying. Ain't that something? Father notices. He said, son, don't you know I love you too? You've always been with me. Your brother who was lost has been found. Come and rejoice with us. Which brother are you? Because we've all sinned. That brother was not sinless. That older brother who stayed, did what was right, but he's trying to make it on his own righteousness. The brother knows, and the father knows who he is, and he's free now to be who he was born to be. As we partake of this radical meal of the God who died for us, as we partake of this reckless love, examine yourself. God, am I free? Have I accepted the sacrifice, your sacrifice? I accepted it. I believe in my Savior, but do I really, 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 down deep inside, feel like you love me after what I've done? Or have you loved me from before the foundation of the world? And nothing can separate that love. Examine yourself. And I hope you will come to the conclusion that he loves you with a very reckless love. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for giving us Jesus and accepting us and loving us because of what he's done for us. We're going to partake now, Father, of this bread, and we ask you to bless it and let it be a blessing to us as we realize that we are part of him, this bread that symbolizes his body. And we're part of that. And nothing can separate us now. Bless this wine. As we drink it, help us to realize that we are cleansed. We are cleansed, though our sins be as scarlet, no matter how numerous, no matter how big or little, they're covered in the blood of Jesus. Wash clean. Remove from us as far as the east is from the west. Do bless us, Lord. Thank you for your prodigal love. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Spoke a word, you were singing over me, and you were you've been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. And you have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it, till you give yourself away.
Self.